wanting to minister to those needs. One of his greatest allies was a young man by the name of Timothy. And he was going to send Timothy to help them and aid them. And Timothy and Paul were like-minded. They had the same concerns, the same burdens, the same ambitions. They were one. They were close. They were brothers. They loved one another and they loved the Lord. And as Paul looked around all the other people that were with him there in Rome, he came to the conclusion that everybody else, and this is kind of a sad commentary on the situation at Rome among the saints, that all these other Christians or saints there at Rome were somewhat self-serving or self-seeking. And in verse 21, he says, for all, now keep in mind the context, he had assessed the situation and he was going to send Timothy because Timothy was like-minded. Timothy was not self-seeking. He was self-sacrificing. And he cared more for the cause of Christ than he cared for himself. See, there comes a time in our life when we must realize that Christ, He is the one that needs our attention. He's the one that deserves our attention. And even in the saints' life, there are times where we become self-seeking. We live in a generation of people that are self-seeking. I thought as we were, the service was kind of winding down, and this may be the first time you've ever been to Victory Church. If it is, we're glad you're here. But you'll notice something about us. We don't go to church here at Victory. We have church. We come here to serve the Lord. We come here to seek the glory of Christ and to seek the face of God. We seek blessings from Him. We seek an abundance of spiritual blessings from Him. And in the course of this service, we actually encourage sinners to seek the forgiveness that is in Christ Jesus. Amen. One of the greatest evangelists that ever lived in the Old Testament was Moses. He had delivered God's people from Egyptian bondage. Actually, he is a type of Christ in many ways. But when you read in the book of Exodus about the great power that was demonstrated, how that in the end they were delivered by blood, by the shedding of the lamb and the Passover. There's a wonderful picture about the saving grace that is in Christ Jesus in the Old Testament. Amen. And they understood more about it than what you imagine. Amen. People in the Old Testament knew that it took the blood of an innocent lamb to bring the forgiveness of sin. Pointing to, now they knew that that literal, actual blood of that beast or that animal wasn't going to literally cleanse them, but it was a type of Jesus who would come and shed His blood on Calvary. And through the shedding of His blood, all can be made clean. Amen? Amen. Jesus died on the cross to bring forgiveness, to bring reconciliation in our life, to bring a cleansing to our life, and He can make you whiter. He can make you whiter than snow, amen? Though your sins be as scarlet, they can be made white as snow. There's one occasion in the book of Deuteronomy where Moses was talking to the people of Israel, and he was talking about various circumstances and situations that would arise in their life, how that they would go into the land of Canaan and become, on occasions, self-seeking. And he said, when you get in that country, look there with me just for a few moments. I think it's in the fourth chapter of Deuteronomy, and he says, you know, God's a jealous God. He said He's done stuff for you that He has done for nobody else. Actually, I think it's a little farther down. He says in the latter part of the fourth chapter that you know, even since Adam was created, there's been nothing so profoundly done for a people as was done for the people of Israel. They had received a blessing like none other since the very creation. Since the time of creation, since God had created Adam, there had been no greater blessing bestowed upon a people as was bestowed on the people of Israel. Listen, the church is at a greater level of blessing than Israel. That's hard for some people to grasp. But anyway, let me continue to tell you. He said, once you got into Canaan, you might become self-seeking and begin to serve these other gods and fall prey to idolatry and situations of tribulation would come into your life. He talked about in verse 26 and verse 27 about how that the Lord would punish them as a people. He would scatter them among the nations, and there would only be a few of them left, and they would serve these other gods that were made of men's hands. In verse 28, wood and stone, which neither see nor hear nor eat nor smell. Sometimes we find ourselves in a situation where we've been exposed to a self-seeking mentality. Our society today is very self-seeking. We have a lot of people that go to church, and it's a shame that they think that they deserve to go to heaven. Not based upon the blood of Jesus, but because they go to church. Or because they've done some work, or because they're American, or because mom and dad claim to be Christians, they deserve God giving them the gates of glory. People, I'll tell you, if you ever get saved, it'll be by grace, and you'll feel unworthy of going there. Amen. Undeserving of that place. But our society has become so self-absorbed and self-seeking. And we are actually in the same situation or in the same circumstances as Israel in many ways in our country. This has become an idol to us. Come on, we worship a lot of the workings of our own hands. We worship a lot of things going on in our lives. They take precedence over spiritual things. They take precedence over the things of God, and that's self-seeking. But he said in these circumstances, if you find yourself, or some perhaps just are raised in such an environment, they're not even realizing while they're growing up. They don't realize their circumstance or realize that bad things are going on all around them. And suddenly they come under the sound of the gospel, and they realize that they have preconceived notions, or they have wrong ideas, or they've been falsely exposed to theology or something, a religious way, that is hindering them from hearing the gospel and being saved. One of the most important things about what we preach and what we do here that you ought to take a special note to is that when we instruct sinners, we tell them to go directly to God.
Amen.
Now, a lot of places don't do that. We instruct them to go directly to God. Moses, one of the greatest evangelists. There, just outside of Mount Sinai, was speaking to the people of Israel. And he said, you know, when you have circumstances and situations that arise in your life, tribulation and trouble and problems, you can still turn to the Lord. Amen? No matter what situation you find yourself in, you can seek God, and God will help you and He will deliver you. I don't care if you're Catholic, Methodist, Baptist, Episcopal, whatever the case may be. Listen, God is God.
Amen.
He's not limited. And when people are in need in the face of the earth, if they will sincerely and they will honestly with their whole hearts seek God, God will come on the scene.
Amen.
Amen. Yes. Yes. And Moses, the greatest evangelist of the Old Testament, he told the people of Israel that. He said, if you'll just seek the Lord, look in verse 29. He said, from thence, notice that word, from thence. There may be some of you this morning, you're in bad circumstances, bad situations. Maybe you're a drunkard. Maybe you're a drug addict. Maybe you've grown up in situations that were rough or sinful or terrible, whatever the case may be. Whatever your circumstance, I assure you, God understands. And from where you're at, right where you're at, mister, wherever you may be, God can meet your need. No matter who you are, where you are, what place you're at, from that place, you need to seek the Lord. Amen. Yeah, yeah. Well, if we had time this morning, we could go throughout this auditorium, and you would hear everybody that's been saved and by the grace of God, been born to the Spirit of God, and had the blood of Jesus applied to their heart. They'll tell you about their circumstance or their situation, and from a certain place, they found the Lord. I like JT and Jodine's testimony, them getting saved that night, day. That's a great, great testimony. From the itch, from the situation they found themselves in, a young couple with a baby. Whatever circumstance you find yourself in this morning, Moses says, from that circumstance, you seek the Lord. Notice in this passage, verse 29, from this, thou shalt seek the Lord thy God. And what does he say? Moses said, look, if you'll seek God, you'll find him. Amen. You'll find him. I think it's in Jeremiah, Jeremiah 29 and 13. It says, God was speaking and he said, you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all of your heart. Amen. When you call out before the Lord and you pour yourself out like water on the dirt and you really want to sincerely know the Lord and understand his ways, I assure you God's big enough to let you know. A lot of times, though, we start seeking God and he shows us how awful we are, how sinful we are, how distant we are, how far removed we are. We think we're religious and God shows us we're worse than infidels and it scares us. Scares us. I know a lot of people start seeking the Lord and then after a few minutes they realize God is exposing their heart and opening it up wide where they can see themselves exactly the way God sees them, and it scares them. Suddenly they realize that throughout their religious career they have been a self-seeker of religion and not a seeker of God. You'll find him when you're sincere. I mean, when you come without all this baggage, without all these stipulations and all of these conditions, see, God sees your heart. Amen. He knows if you're really sincerely wanting to know. And let me tell you how this thing works, okay? It's only real. It's only shown to be real to those who are willing to receive it. You can't come to God and say, God, show me, and if I like it, I'll believe it. He's God. He's God. You must let God be God. And when you come before God, you say, God, show me your truth. I embrace it before you show me. Whatever truth you put before me, I'm going to embrace it. I'm going to chase it. I'm going to love it. I'm going to pursue it. It's going to be my life. I'm surrendering to you and the things you show me. And that scares people. We would rather just be a little of this and a little of that. We want just a portion of it if we like it. We want to vote on it to determine whether or not, listen, church, you can vote on stuff in business meetings or make decisions and creeds and things of this nature. But listen, we go contrary to God, we're wrong. I don't care how much we vote on it. Amen. You know? God is God. And we must seek Him. We must seek His truth. We must seek His way. I'm not going to hold you very long. Moses, one of the greatest evangelists, he said, you've got to seek him. You've got to seek him sincerely. You've got to seek him with all of your heart. And when you seek him with all of your heart, even Moses said, you will find him.
Amen.
Wow. I mean, you lay hold of the Lord. When you flee for refuge and you lay hold of Jesus Christ, you know you've got Jesus because Jesus will come in you and you'll be in Jesus. I can't explain that. You just got to experience it. Amen. I mean, he'll come into your heart. He'll let you know. He'll speak in that language that you can understand. He'll speak to your heart. You'll know you've just heard from God. Amen.
Amen.
Moses said to the people of Israel, said, you'll get so stupid that you'll embrace gods that do not hear, that do not speak, do not eat, they're not alive, they're dead. But I'll tell you, our God is very much alive. He is alive. He can show himself to you. And he will show himself to you if you will seek him. If you'll seek him with all your heart. I don't know why you're delaying. I really don't. I wish you wouldn't delay. But you need to seek him right now from the place that you're at in life. Some of you are young. Some of you are old. But you've never been saved by the grace of God. Jesus Christ died on the cross, shed His precious blood, took your place as we sung that first song. He died, He was crucified in our stead. Jesus took our place. And when we come to God seeking His truth, one of the first things He exposes to us, one of the first things that He reveals to us, is that if we're ever going to be in the presence of God and acceptable in God's eyes, it'll only be through Jesus. We're only acceptable in the blood. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Moses said, if you'll seek the Lord with all your heart, if you'll call upon Him, and that's what Jesus instructed us to do. You remember that? He told us if we would ask and seek and knock, that He would answer, that we would find, and the door would swing wide open. He said that in His first sermon. If we would ask, if we would seek, if we would knock. Today, notice what He says in these passages. He says this. From this, from the position or situation you find yourself in, if you're mixed up, God's the answer. If you're confused, God's the answer. If there are bad circumstances and situations in your life, God is the answer. When you're lost and undone, or you go through trials and tribulations, God is the answer. When there's sickness or death, God's still the answer. Amen. From thence, thou shalt seek the Lord thy God. Thou shalt find Him if thou seek Him with all, notice what He says, with all of your heart, with all of your soul. A half-hearted search for God won't do. Amen. You know what one of the greatest things that's available to you today, you may have been thus far in your life pretty much self-seeking. But God can change you today. He can save you and put you on a whole new course. Some of you this morning may have never expected in your life to enter a Baptist church and be transformed. But it can happen to you today. God is calling and seeking you as you seek after Him. See, God knew you was going to be here this morning. He knew it. He knew who was going to be here and who wasn't. And He wanted a message presented to the congregation and to you that if you would just, from the place where you're at, if you will honestly and sincerely with all of your heart and your soul seek God, God will answer.
Amen.
And it'll happen just that quick, won't it? Brother Rick, it's good to have you here. Didn't you get saved walking out of the aisle? Stepping out? Yeah. I tell you what, God knows your heart. He stepped out, boom, and it happened. Amen. I mean, he saw God with all of his heart. He didn't have to come to the altar and bow. He was going to do that. He was willing to do that. And you've got to be willing to do whatever. I mean, you've got to be willing to seek God wherever and however He wants you to seek Him.
Amen.
Isn't that right?
Amen.
Isn't that right, Katie? He gets to calling you at school. You get out there in the, right? Didn't you get saved at school? Huh? In the hallway? While school was going on? Yeah. I'm telling you, God is wanting to save you. He's wanting to redeem you. He's wanting to forgive you. He's wanting to give you a home in heaven. But you must seek Him with all of your heart. This half-hazard, half-seeking, half-hearted religion isn't worth a flip.
Amen.
Just not. It won't take you to heaven. It's not genuine. It's not real. But the commitment that you make when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, when you crown Him as Lord of your life, it's forever. For of His kingdom there is no end. And you must be born again to enter the kingdom of God. Amen? To go into the kingdom of Christ. To even see it this morning. To realize the blessings that are available. Oh, the blessings of being saved. Of having a Christian home and having God with you when you're young. Having God with you when you get married. Having God with you when you have children. Having God with you as you grow old, I tell you. Oh, what a wonderful life to live. And it all started when I sought God from that position that I was in, lost and separated, condemned to a devil's hell. The gospel pricked my heart and I realized that. And I needed Jesus. I was far removed from any blessing, far removed from any forgiveness, far removed from the Savior's love, it seemed. Oh, but the Lord showed me through the preaching of the cross that He loved me beyond my wildest dreams. And if I would go to Him and I would just surrender to Him, if I'd come to the foot of the cross and seek His face, that He would forgive me and save me and come into my life and I would be a Christian. Thank God for Christianity. Thank God for the blessings of the cross coming upon our lives. I'm a blessed man. I'm rich. Oh, I am so rich. Listen, God wants to give you wealth like you've never imagined. An inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, that'll fade not away, reserved for you in heaven. Glory, hallelujah. Let's sing a song, Brother David. If you're here today and you have never been saved by the grace of God, we'll pray with you, but we cannot pray the prayer for you. We'll seek God's face in your behalf, but you must personally, you must be the one that seeks the face of God.
Amen.
You must be the one that repents of your sins. You have to be the one that trusts in Jesus with all of your heart. It is personal between you and the Savior. Listen, He loves you. And He wants to save you. Maybe you feel unloved. From that place, move toward the Savior's love. Amen? Whatever you need, the answer is in Jesus. Quit being self-seeking. Start seeking after the Savior. And there's a glory in the Savior that cannot be compared to anything you find here in this world. Let's stand and sing a verse of some song. God bless you is my prayer.
Number 27.
Come to the altar. Pray. We'll pray with you. But you must pray for yourself. Is there one this morning? You've never been saved. Moses. Can you hear Moses? Moses saying, leave the place you're at. Go to the cross. From that place you're at right now, lost or deceived or hurting, whatever your circumstance, God understands. Doesn't He understand? And if you will go to Him today, He will answer you. Let's sing. Someone here lost. You've never been saved. From wherever you're at today, come to the cross. Cleanse you. He will make you whole. Your life will be a life of blessing in Christ Jesus. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Go to the one who cares. May His grace and His blood be applied to your heart. You come to know Him in the free pardon of sin. I read here recently where that some of these churches, like the Saddleback Church, some of the others, some of the bigger churches, they went through the community and they found out what kind of church people wanted. They asked the community, lost people, out worldlings, what kind of church they should have, what the church should believe, and you know, how the church should run, and how the church should practice. And it was a self-seeking church that they established, and they are some of the biggest churches in America.
Amen.
We have no right to establish our own doctrines.
Amen.
Jesus said, upon this rock, I will build my church.
Amen.
We have to conform to the doctrines of Jesus.
Amen.
It's not about what you think about it. It's not what I think about it. It's what Jesus said about it that matters.
Amen.
That's the kind of church we need to always have. Be careful. Don't fall prey to a self-seeking church. There's a lot of them out there. Go to one that seeks Christ. That's a sound church. One who seeks Christ. I love you. Appreciate you being here. Appreciate our visitors being here. God bless you. We're thankful that you're here. We're hoping that you were made to feel welcome. This is the message. I know sometimes that the message is offensive. Jesus said it would be. He said, people hate you. They hate me. They're going to hate you. Right? And that's what he said. The message sometimes seems to be, well, people kick against the pricks. Paul did, didn't he? He was a very religious man. The gospel kind of offended him. He took the run the other way. But eventually, he surrendered to it, didn't he? I'll tell you what. I give you this challenge. Listen to me closely. Listen very closely. You find yourself an altar somewhere, and you really seek the face of God till He answers. You do your own little experiment. What are you afraid of? Huh? I challenge you. You find you a place somewhere and you really, with all of your heart, sincerely, pour yourself out before God and ask God to respond to the... And He will. Yeah. I'm not telling you to join a Baptist church. I'm telling you to just seek the Lord.
Amen.
You do believe Moses lived, don't you? Huh? All right. Listen, when you come, you got to come as you are, whatever your condition, and you got to pour yourself out before the Lord. And when you do, it'll all make sense to you. What I've been trying to tell you, the sermons you've heard, the gospel you've heard at this place, God will make a Baptist out of you.
Amen.
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 Yeah. Preachers can't do it. Brother Matthew, you can't make Baptists out of people. It takes God. Amen.
Amen.
And there are some things in your life where only God will do. Don't you let man convince you, because another man come along, he can convince you of something else.
Right. Yeah, right.
All right. You make sure you've got this thing nailed down between you and God.
Amen.
And you'll be fine. I guarantee it.
Yeah.
Appreciate you coming. All hearts and minds free.
Brother Tim, I'd just like to thank the Lord this morning. Thank you for salvation.
Yes.
You know, I appreciate the message very much. We as Christians, we learn to seek the Lord as sinners. When we find Him, we know what that process is all about. But really, seeking God is also a process that we go through as Christians. Many times during our walk with God. Recently, I have been there. Every day for the past 10 months, I've been seeking the face of God. I've wanted very much to be a part of this church, to move my membership here, but the Spirit of God didn't allow that in my life. And I love this church. This church has always been a home to me. I love the people here very much. Every morning when I get up, I go to God in prayer. I say, Lord, reveal to us what Your will would be. And I know that my God is real and He's able to hear and answers prayers. About 2 months ago, I heard from the Lord. And he revealed to me where my place was to be. And but I just have just been waiting upon him. I've accepted a pastorate at Mount Juliet Missionary Baptist Church, and I ask you to pray for me and my family as we go that way. I thank God for my wife and my family. She has been willing to follow me wherever the Lord has led us. And pray for them. Pray for the cause. But I guarantee you, as you stated in your message this morning, if you seek God, He'll answer. And I don't go there because, and I'll say this, that was the first church I preached at after I left Murfreesboro. I walked out of there that day and I said, well, it's not this one, I'll keep seeking another. But God has a way of bringing things to fruition and bringing about His will in our lives. And my friends, we have to be willing and obedient to go where the Lord wants us to go. I go to Mount Juliet because God has sent me there. And for that reason only, I go. And wherever it is in our life, if you're lost, like the preacher said, you need to seek His face till you find salvation. If you're a Christian that's displaced, if you'll seek the face of God, He'll lead you to a place of service in your life. I praise God this morning. He hears and He answers prayers. I love this church, and I ask you for your prayers to go with me and my family. God bless you all. I love you.
Sometimes we tell God our plans and He laughs. I know some of you have came to this church and you left here and you said, those people are the craziest people I've ever been around in my life. Isn't that right, Brother Tim? Until the Lord got a hold of you and you found yourself on your face before God. Now you're one of us. You know, I know people say, well, they were saved. They said, I never joined Victory Church. Yeah, well, here they come, you know. Yeah, and now you're members, and I won't name you guys, but the Lord, listen, if you really seek the face of God, sometimes God will call on you to do things you didn't expect to do nor want to do. You're not doing your will, you're doing God's will. Amen. Appreciate Brother Rick and his family, and our prayers are with you. Appreciate you coming and being here during your time of waiting on the Lord. Anyone else?
Brother Tim, that prayer on the 429 is very, very special.
Yeah.
After I got saved, I didn't know this way. I didn't know anything about this way. But after I got saved, I picked up the Bible. That's the first thing I did. I realized that I was wrong. And I took that book up and I began to read it. And I came to Deuteronomy 4:29 and I highlighted it. And it floored me. I said, that's what I did.
Yeah.
I did that and I found God.
Amen.
And I know He's real.
Yeah.
And it's very, very special to me. I just smiled when you started to read it. And if you do that, if you're earnestly, honestly sincere, He will answer.
Yeah.
God is real and He answers.
Yeah.
He
yes, He does.
To His children. That's right. What.